Hello, pals, and welcome back to another episode of Listen to Less. Today, we're going to talk about hormones, which we talk about all the time. So nothing new. I'm about to ovulate, if you couldn't tell by my silly, goofy mood. But here we are. I actually was feeling a little bit tired because I've had a long work day, a lot of diving into genetic testing with client labs that's been taking up a lot of my brain power. But I love it. It's so interesting. And it's so interesting making connections between the symptoms people have, and then they come back with these wonky looking labs, and then light bulbs going off of this might be actually like a genetic issue. We do genetic testing and boom, there it is. And then we solve the mystery. Like, I was going to say Blue's Clues, but that's not right. Like Scooby-Doo. We're Scooby-Doo and Velma over here. Okay. I don't know what is in the water today. I'm feeling goofy. But in all honesty, today we're going to talk about hormones being responsible for weight gain or struggling to lose weight because of hormones. I think that's all the rage right now on TikTok, on social media, on other people's podcasts, on my podcast. It's hormones are very trendy right now. And everyone's talking about cortisol, which I love, but there's a lot of not great information going out there that's inaccurate, but everyone's talking about hormones and weight loss, weight gain. So in the next few episodes, I was a silly little girl this morning and thought that I would be able to talk about weight gain or weight loss resistance about with four different hormones in one episode. But then I wrote all of my notes for just one of the hormones, and it's going to be a full podcast episode. So this is going to be a four episode little mini series in season two. So we're going to talk about a few different hormones that are involved in your inability or your ability to lose weight. So those hormones include thyroid hormone, which we're going to talk about today, cortisol, estrogen, and insulin. So today is going to be all about, is your thyroid hormone why you're gaining weight, or why it is such an uphill battle for you to even get a pound off and you feel like you're dieting just to stay overweight? So if you feel like that, we're going to talk about why that might be, and it might be related to your thyroid. Now, those same feelings might be related to your cortisol levels or your estrogen levels or your insulin levels. So over the next 4 weeks, the next four episodes, including today, we're going to dive into is your weight gain hormonal? Okay. So we're also going to talk about what to do. How did you get here? How did your hormones become the problem? And then how do you overcome that? And to be honest with you, we're going to talk about this more at the end of the episode, but a lot of people are oh, I can't lose weight. I'm afraid it's because of my hormones. But girlfriend, reality check, your hormones are out of place because of what you're doing with your life, with your lifestyle, your nutrition. Your hormones don't just fall out of place. You don't just have estrogen dominance, or you don't just have low progesterone, or you don't just develop hypothyroidism just on a sunny Sunday afternoon out of nowhere. This is because of months and years of either poor nutrition habits, whether that's from drastically undereating, chronically trying to diet, not eating nutrient-dense meals, not eating any protein at all, except for the scoop of peanut butter that you eat when you're passing by your pantry that has only 7 grams of protein in it. It's not high protein. This is from years of some people – I feel like this isn't as common now, but over-exercising and under-recovering, where you're just working out all the time, all the time, and you're never recovering, and then you're not eating enough to repair what you just did in the gym and recover from that. This could be because you're drinking too much, girlfriend. I know you're not drinking as much as you were in college, but if you're still drinking alcohol every single week, especially more than two beverages a week, that can be causing your estrogen to go up. That can be causing hormonal issues. So my whole point is that your hormones, people are quick to blame their hormones for weight gain or for issues that they're having. But then when I tell them they need to change their lifestyle to fix their hormones, they don't want to do it. And it's people look at hormones as a scapegoat of it's just my hormones. But your hormones are that way because of how you're living your life. If you're super stressed out all of the time, like your diet and your exercise, your recovery may be perfect, but you're stressed out all of the time, that's going to impact your hormones, okay? So you have to do the foundations that we're going to talk about later in order to reverse some of these hormonal things, okay? So today we're going to get into the seriousness, the real side of thyroid hormone impacting your weight gain and even fertility. Honestly, we're going to talk a little bit about thyroid and fertility as well. I think that hormones have been really trendy online. I made a post recently about but I got some smack for it. I deleted the comments because I'm not strong enough to leave them there and ignore them. Vulnerable moment there. But it was something along the lines of, if somebody says like doing this or that balances your hormones, ask them what hormones they're balancing, because there's so many content creators online right now that are just regurgitating things that somebody else said online. And I don't think half of these content creators that claim they're a hormone coach or they're a hormone balancing whatever know what they're talking about, because they say everything balances their hormones and they just say balance hormones, but they don't ever talk about what hormone are we talking about? Are we talking about cortisol? Are we talking about insulin? Are we talking about T4? Are we talking about T3? Like, what are we talking about here? Which hormones are we talking about? Everyone's just like, this balances my hormones, whenever they do something that's remotely healthy. So just be careful who you get your information from, but I digress. I told you I'm in a silly, goofy mood. I'm rambling today, but anyways, let's jump into hormones. Okay. So what even are hormones? First and foremost, hormones are the body's chemical messengers. So hormones carry information and instructions from one set of cells to another set of cells. The endocrine system makes up our glands and our organs that are secreting these hormones, and they influence almost every cell, organ, and function in our body. So hormones are the messengers of our body. So that brings me back to my point of, your hormones don't just fall out of place for no reason. There is something being triggered that is triggering a hormonal reaction in your body. It's a messenger. So if there's stress, your body sends the cortisol messenger that your body's under stress. They're responding to what's going on in your life. So today we're going to talk about thyroid hormone. Obviously, thyroid hormone comes from your thyroid. When we talk about estrogen, estrogen comes from primarily your ovaries, a little bit from your adrenal glands, primarily from your adrenal glands when you are postmenopausal, and your fat cells, actually. Cortisol comes from your adrenal glands, and insulin comes from your pancreas, okay? So let's discuss the thyroid. What is your thyroid? What even is your thyroid? First of all, it's a butterfly-shaped organ in your neck. I'm like touching it, but you can't see me. In the front of your neck, okay? And your thyroid is responsible for your metabolism, your metabolic rate, which would be how much energy or calories you burn in a day. That's essentially the overview of what your metabolic rate is. You've heard of people having a fast metabolism. You've heard of people having a slow metabolism. When you have a slow metabolism, typically that's because your thyroid is suffering, whether you've been diagnosed with hypothyroidism or you have subclinical hypothyroidism, which I see a lot in my functional labs, where you're not going to get a conventional diagnosis of hypothyroidism, but you're on your way there if we don't do some things to kind of reverse that. Personal opinion here, I believe hypothyroidism or subclinical hypothyroidism to be a state of your metabolism. I don't think it is a diagnosis or a disease that is you were there forever. I think it's a state of your overall metabolic health, and it can be improved upon. And I've had several clients that, through working with me and their doctors, decided to get off medication and their metabolisms are thriving. Now, it takes a lot of work to get to that. You have to do the work. You have to do the work to get there. You can't just do this for like a month and be like, I'm going to get off my medication and everything's going to be fine. You have to do the work, okay? So hypothyroidism, I'm just going to use that term, hypothyroidism. when I'm discussing sluggish thyroid, whether your numbers are slightly low or you are full-blown hypothyroidism. I'm going to use that kind of interchangeably today. But hypothyroidism, think of this as just slow, sluggish thyroid, okay? This is when your thyroid hormones are lower than they should be. Now, you need adequate thyroid hormones, specifically free T3, to keep your metabolic rate in a healthy place. So when someone's T3 lowers, this slows their metabolic rate down, meaning that your body is going to burn fewer calories, both at rest and just throughout the day. It does this as a protection mechanism for you, okay? So this can happen when you aren't doing anything differently month to month, right? So you may be eating the same, you may be working out the same, your life may be very much the same, but over the years, you're doing a few of the things we're going to talk about later in the episode that lead to this slowing down of your metabolism, slowing down of your thyroid hormones, that then end up, you start seeing these trends in your labs, and then one day you realize your weight just starts creeping up. This is where people will start gaining weight over time, even though they're like, nothing's changed in the last year, like nothing's changed in the last 3 months, but all of a sudden my weight is just like slowly climbing up and I don't really know why. This can also be, some people do gain it rapidly. I've had people in the past where they come to me, we realize that their thyroid is very slowed down and they gained 50 pounds in like 2 months and they have no clue why, even though things didn't change. This can also look like having to diet or feel like you have to try really hard to diet just to maintain your weight or to maintain over a weight that you want to be. Like you have to diet and be so diligent because anytime you have a free day or a free week, you're going to gain weight back very quickly. Okay. So those can be the outcomes of somebody with hypothyroid or sluggish thyroid. Now, hypothyroidism can also impair the ability to break down and utilize fat for energy. So what does that mean? Well, this is just more explanation of how having hypothyroidism can lead to weight gain or difficulty losing weight. Because when these next few things I'm going to talk about start happening due to hypothyroidism, it makes it really difficult to diet. So for example, someone with hypothyroidism, they could push themselves so hard in a diet phase, like eating 1200 calories, working out really hard, but nothing is happening. No weight is coming off. Now, this isn't the only hormonal reaction that can cause this, but this is one of them where we are stuck in this hypothyroid state. So when somebody has hypothyroidism, this can impair the ability to break down and utilize fat for energy, meaning that you may start to store the food that you eat as energy for later, as fat, instead of burning it, or you're just storing more and more. Because when you are in a state of hypothyroidism, when your metabolism does start to slow down, your body starts burning less and less energy overall as a protection mechanism. So then it kind of starts storing what you're eating more so as fat, which would be energy used later versus utilizing it right then and there or burning it more efficiently. Okay. So that can happen when you have hypothyroidism. There's also the conversation of fluid retention. This is common with hypothyroidism as well. You might just start to feel much more puffy, especially in your face or in your extremities, like your arms, your hands, your fingers, your legs, and your feet. And you may notice that the scale is going up, but it's actually not just from fat gain, or maybe it's not from fat gain. It's actually from water retention. And you just feel really puffy. And you know what I'm talking about. You know when the difference is, like, I just feel puffy. I don't necessarily feel fat, but I just feel puffy and like bloated and like I'm just holding on to more water. I just feel sluggish. That can be a sign of hypothyroidism or a symptom of hypothyroidism. You can feel fluid retention from a lot of things, but this is a symptom that is associated with hypothyroidism, okay? The worse that hypothyroidism gets, the more fatigued and lethargic you're going to become. Now, just because you have hypothyroidism doesn't mean you notice all of these symptoms. I know some people that have had hypothyroidism and they're very lean and they're very, very skinny, but they struggle with some with other symptoms. And we're going to talk about a list of some of those symptoms here in a second. But when you do have sluggish thyroid, you're going to feel fatigued. You're going to feel lethargic. You're going to feel tired. And the worse it gets, the more tired you're going to become. It doesn't matter how much sleep you get. You're just always feeling tired and you're just ready for a nap, okay? And this is actually happening because your body is burning less energy for you to use, which therefore is going to make you, you know, more tired. This is going to lead to a more sedentary life from being tired all the time. I mean, I can imagine if somebody has hypothyroidism or if I had hypothyroidism and my body is burning less energy, my body is actively trying to conserve energy, then my body's going to be really tired. I'm going to start to feel really tired. And then when I feel really tired, I don't want to go to the gym. I don't want to get steps. I don't want to go on a walk. So that's going to mean you're not going to want to push yourself in the gym. And then that can lead to more weight gain because you are so tired that you can't keep up the activity level that you once did because you're so fatigued all the time. So then this is kind of like an indirect way of gaining weight due to hypothyroidism, where you're just so tired, you can't do the things you did to maintain your physique before. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that you should push harder. In fact, you should probably listen to your body and rest more. Your body is telling you that it needs more rest. Your body will tell you what it needs. And part of, you know, reversing or improving your thyroid function is rest and recovery. If you're pushing yourself way too hard and you're not recovering, this is your body's way of being like, girlfriend, I need a nap. I need a nap like yesterday and today. I need one all days. I need a nap every day. Okay. So listen to that. If you feel chronically tired all of the time, that might be a sign that you actually do need rest. It shouldn't be a sign that you're not tired because you have a deficiency in caffeine. You know what I mean? You're tired because your body is going through something. So when you're tired, instead of just trying to push through all the time, I understand it during the workday, if you need a little bit of a boost to get through just to get to 5 o'clock, but if you feel exhausted every day, you should probably rest. Start going to bed earlier instead of staying up till 1 a.m. scrolling your phone so then you're getting horrible sleep, right? Let your body rest. I want to give a quick shout out to one of our show sponsors, Clear Stem Skincare. You've probably seen me posting a lot about this. I have been using Clear Stem for years. I actually have a highlight on my Instagram page back from, I think it was 2021, using all Clear Stem products. So I have been using them for a couple of years before they became a sponsor of me and the show. And this is like when they reached out and they were like, we want to partner with you. I was so excited because I love their products and I've been using them for years. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is a dream brand to be able to partner with because I know the products. I love the products. They work. And I'm here to tell you about them. So if you are somebody that is looking for a lower toxin skincare line, Clear Stem falls into that category. They are low/non-toxic for their skincare, and they have a little bit of body care as well in their line. So you don't have to worry about the ingredients in it. And that's one thing that I've always been like, I've really tried to not put hormone disrupting ingredients on my body anymore because the research is quite scary. I'm not going to get into all the research, but it's quite scary about what a lot of our beauty products have in them that and how they impact our hormones, our fertility, and even put us in certain cancer risks. So I was like, I want some non-toxic skincare that is actually going to work, that I don't have to worry about. So I started using Clear Stem a couple of years ago. The other really cool thing, and this is where non-toxic skincare gets tricky, because a lot of other non-toxic skincare brands, they will use certain ingredients that aren't toxic, but they are pore cloggers. And I have very large pores. I have oily skin and I'm very acne prone. So it was really like, honestly, it was like pulling teeth to find a non-toxic skincare brand that didn't have this laundry list of ingredients that clogged your pores. And before I even started using ClearStem, they actually have a resource on their website where you can actually copy and paste ingredients from other products you use into their site, and it will tell you which ingredients in there are known to clog your pores, which then causes more breakouts and more oily skin and larger pores and more visible pores. So I had been using that research well before I even started using ClearStem, but that's something that you could definitely go check out your products on that part of their website. And then on top of that, their whole mission is anti-acne and anti-aging. So it's clean ingredients. They actually work, but they also fight acne and wrinkles and help with collagen production. They use stem cells. They use different oils that are really helpful for nourishing your skin. Something I struggled with for a long time was using way too many active ingredients and not enough just helping my skin barrier to, you know, strengthen the skin barrier and just be healthier. And I think I was causing a lot of my own breakouts because I was just breaking down my skin barrier and causing more irritation from trying to kill things off or dry things out so that it would get better. Once I started using their serums, and I love their HydraGlow stem cell moisturizer, my skin just has a glowy sense to it. I've actually gotten several DMs lately about how glowy my skin has been looking, and I'm like, oh my God, thank you. The best compliment ever. And it's just, it's my favorite skincare brand ever. And if you want to try it, you can use code Leslie and it gets you 15% off. So I will link them in the show notes for you to check out their website and see if there's any products that you want to try. You can always message me to see which products I highly recommend. If you're going to try anything at all on their website, let it be the HydraGlow Stem Cell Moisturizer. It's my favorite product on their entire site, but I also love pretty much everything on there. So I hope that you love it and I hope that you try it out. Let's talk a little bit about labs. Some of you may have gotten, you know, you may have labs from your doctor that you can listen to this and then go look back at your labs to see what was going on there. But when we talk about thyroid labs, there's six markers that I look at on a thyroid. If I'm looking for a hypothyroid, there's four. Two of the six are for autoimmunity, something like Hashimoto's, which is one of the top causes of hypothyroidism. That would be TPO and TGAB, but we're not really going to talk about those today. But if you're looking at hypothyroidism in the absence of autoimmunity, in the absence of Hashimoto's, the four main thyroid markers that you would want to look for, ask your doctor for, is TSH, free T4, free T3, and reverse T3. Now, the downside to conventional medicine is, and I don't know if why this is or if research just hasn't hit the medical practices yet. I read in I actually read this in my thyroid book called The Thyroid Connection by Amy Myers. She is an MD, and she mentioned in there that it takes research upwards from 15 to 18 years to reach standard practice where that research is common knowledge in most practices. So I don't know if that's the case with the thyroid values or whatnot, or why conventional medicine's only looking at two of those four main thyroid values, but it can be very misleading. So when we're looking at TSH, TSH actually is coming from your brain, and that is telling your thyroid if it needs more or if it needs less thyroid hormone, because it's scanning your blood to see, it's scanning your body and your tissues to see, okay, how much thyroid hormone is being produced and is in our body. Do we need more or do we need less? So that number in the functional range, functional world, we like to see that between a 0.8 and a 2. And when I say the functional range, that's because I'm looking at optimal values where people are absent of both symptoms and they're absent of disease. The conventional lab ranges that you see, that you get from any lab or your doctor, Those are based upon the majority of people that go to the doctor. Well, majority of Americans are getting sicker and sicker and sicker, more metabolically unhealthy as years go on. So a lot of those ranges you see now are actually much more broad than they once were decades ago. So when it is normal for a person to, like, the ranges that you're seeing in a conventional lab, those are so wide because that's what's normal for Americans to have. But most Americans are sick. So when we look, when I talk about functional ranges, these are ranges that have been based off of non-sick, metabolically healthy individuals. And where, what is the lab range for these healthy individuals, not just the entire US population that is getting sicker and sicker, so that conventional medicine has to broaden these ranges to be wider and wider because that's what's considered normal nowadays because everyone is so unhealthy. Okay. So in the functional world, we like to see TSH between a 0.8 and a 2. You're probably not going to get a diagnosis of hypothyroidism until your TSH is above a 4 to a 5, depending on where you go. Which is crazy that they diagnose it based on just TSH. And then you have your free T4. So free T4 in your thyroid produces both free T4 and free T3. It produces majority T4. And then T4 has to be converted into T3, which is more metabolically active in what actually goes into your cells, provides energy, gives your metabolism that little boost, right? So we use majority T3, but our thyroid produces majority T4. So your tissue, surrounding tissues, your liver, your GI tract is responsible for converting that T4 to T3, okay? So think of like your T3 as the gas pedal in a car, okay? And then your T4 is maybe the gas. So you put the gas in the car and then T3, you hit the gas pedal to actually give the body gas, right? Okay, so in your conventional setting, they're probably only going to test TSH and T4. T4, I like to see between a 1 and a 1.5 on a functional range. But then the labs that your conventional doctor is probably not going to test, which I am the most curious about, is your free T3, that active hormone, that more bioavailable or bioactive hormone that is actually going in and giving your body the energy that it needs, is your free T3. And I want to see that between a 3 and a 4.4. There is such thing as hyperthyroid where these hormones are too high, but we're not talking about that today. Symptoms of that would be losing weight drastically and not being able to keep weight on. So not what we're talking about today. But we want to see free T3 between a 3 and a 4.4. If it's a below a 3, that's where we start to see some of these subclinical hypothyroid type symptoms regarding weight gain and some other hypothyroid type symptoms, okay? Then we also have a metric that I've actually had a lot of clients go to their doctor and their doctor doesn't even know what these labs, this lab is called reverse T3. Now think of reverse T3 as the brakes in the car. So you have free T3, which is the gas, and you have reverse T3, which is the brakes. What can happen is a lot of stress, both internal, external, if your immune system is going crazy because you've got maybe viruses that are no longer dormant and they're becoming active, putting strain on your immune system. If you have really poor GI health, if there is autoimmunity going on, if there's just a lot of stress in general, issues with cortisol, then your body can actually push T3 to reverse T3. So your body's like physically putting on the brakes, saying there's a lot going on. I need to shut off some of this energy to conserve energy to heal, right? Because there's too much going on. Basically, your body's under a lot of stress when this happens. So I want to see your reverse T3 between a 9 and a 14. In fact, if somebody comes to me and their reverse T3 is really elevated, I know we shouldn't even try to diet. And even if we did, they probably aren't going to lose any weight. So I have had that happen where someone's free T3, several people actually, is in maybe even the 20s or like 18, 19, upwards of 20s. No matter how hard we push, the weight's not coming off. So I've kind of just learned when I see that, that's a really big indicator that we need to go through a reverse diet and we need to sit at maintenance calories before we try to push a diet any further. Okay, so those are the labs that I'm looking at to see what is the state of your thyroid. I do have some clients that will run a thyroid panel to see, are they in a good place to diet, especially if someone came to me and we worked through a reverse diet and then we sat at maintenance for a while because they weren't losing weight and we needed to just take a break from trying to lose weight to help their metabolism kind of speed up a little bit before we try to lose weight. I will run a thyroid panel and see what's the state of their thyroid to give us the green light on if we can try to diet or not, or if we need to sit at maintenance. Your body will tell you these things. You can actually look into this to see what are your chances of success with dieting by looking at your thyroid hormones, okay? Now, I know that was a lot. So if you are curious and you want to do a lab review, just message me and we can definitely set that up to get you a full panel done and then to be able to go over those labs to see what's going on. But a little sidebar here, if you're thyroid is low, you have subclinical or you have clinical hypothyroidism, this can impact your fertility and your period health. Those are two big symptoms that can happen with hypothyroidism because your overall metabolic health is important for the health of your entire body, especially fertility, mental health, cardiovascular health. Actually, if you've ever had high cholesterol, look at your thyroid labs. If your free T3 is low, your cholesterol will go up. And that's not because you need a statin. It's because you need to address your metabolic health and your thyroid health. And then your cholesterol will come down when your free T3 goes back up into a healthy range. It's not just weight loss that this is important for, but I know I have a lot of fertility people coming to listen to this podcast. So just know that hypothyroidism or slowed, sluggish thyroid can impact your fertility and your sex hormones that are necessary to get pregnant. Okay. So why does hypothyroid happen? Well, one of the most common causes is the autoimmune condition called Hashimoto's that I mentioned earlier. But then we also have a lot of lifestyle factors. This is where undereating comes into play. So I'm talking dieting or purely forgetting to eat from the chaos you call your life, okay? Undereating is one of the most common things I see with women that come into my doors. I have women, before we start working together, track their food for 7 days so I can see just like what a 7-day food log looks like. Majority of women are drastically under consuming calories and under consuming protein. So if that is you, where you're just so busy that you tend to skip, you like barely eat breakfast, you just get a Starbucks coffee on the drive-thru as you drive to work, and then you have a few snacks while you're at work because you don't want to take a break to eat lunch, or you don't set a boundary, and even though you're working 40 hours a week, you're like, oh, I don't need to take a lunch break, even though legally you're required to, and then you get home and then you eat dinner, but that's all you have. That is what I'm talking about when I'm saying you're under eating, if you're not eating enough meals, okay? But then there's also, if you've constantly been trying to lose weight, you're constantly trying to diet year after year after year, and there's more times than not that you're trying to diet, that's going to impact your metabolism as well. Because when you diet, especially for a long period of time, you will see drops in your thyroid health. This is from a lack of food, which is also energy. This can be from intense exercise where you're out exercising the amount of calories that you're eating and lack of recovery, okay? This is actually why some bodybuilders, I am not a bodybuilder, I never was, but in my network, I have several bodybuilding coaches that we've had this discussion that they train bodybuilders, that some bodybuilders will actually take thyroid medication so that they can keep their thyroid in a good place to continue seeing gains even though they're dieting. Because sometimes if you don't take T3, you don't take thyroid medication, your thyroid will start to slow down as a protection mechanism because in bodybuilding, people go to drastic measures to where not everybody, but a lot of times they're going to where they're eating 1,000 calories or less sometimes for weeks. They're just eating a straight protein diet with like no carbs at all. It's like cod and tilapia and rice cakes that they're eating. And they need to take that medication in order to keep their thyroid pumping out thyroid hormones so they can continue to maintain their muscle mass and lose body weight and not stall out. Because if you do that for too long, your metabolism will start to, well, it will try to stop any further weight loss, and it will start to put on more body fat in an attempt to save you, in an attempt to keep you alive. So when you diet for a really long time, or you undereat when you don't realize that, like, you're not trying to diet, but you're just so busy that you're drastically undereating, that will lower your thyroid hormone. That will put you in a hypothyroid state. Okay. It is rare that women actually come to me eating enough food to where we can just start dieting when they want to lose weight. I actually think this has happened maybe twice in my life of coaching women, either in the gym or in my nutrition programs as my online platform. I could count on one hand the amount of women that come to me eating enough calories to where we can just automatically start a diet, because so many of you have been trying to be smaller and be the smallest version of yourself your entire life, that you are now conditioned to eat less and less and less to where that has become your new maintenance. That has become your new normal. So now 1,200 calories is your maintenance. And if you eat 1,500 calories when you actually should be eating maybe like 1,900 calories, but if you even eat 15, you're going to gain weight. Well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I know you don't want that to happen, but that's because your body's been trying to conserve energy for so long because you've been depriving your body of these healthy foods that it's trying to put weight on as a protection mechanism. And whenever you give it the chance to, it's like, thank God she's feeding us. She's feeding us today. We need to store this energy for later because she's not going to do this for long. We know she likes to diet, so we're going to save this as fat because we need it because she doesn't eat enough. Okay. Rule of thumb in the dieting realm is for every year you've been dieting, you need at least a month at maintenance calories. And that's after you've reversed yourself up and gone through a reverse diet. It's not quick, ladies. It's not quick. It takes a long time. I'll give myself as an example, okay? So I'm actually seeing thyroid improvements. Now, I haven't done thyroid labs on myself, but I can just sense and feel that my thyroid is in a much better place than it was before. You guys have, if you've been around for a while, I never stepped on stage as a bodybuilder, but I was surrounded by them. So I very much like trained at the gym and ate like a bodybuilder for years. So I was constantly dieting and then bulking, dieting and then bulking. And then I got to a point where I would tell myself I was bulking, but I think it was just like I had been dieting on and off so much and so intensely to keep such a lean physique that I think my thyroid was a little messed up. In fact, I know it was from previous labs. My thyroid, I didn't have clinical hypothyroidism, but my thyroid was very sluggish. My T3 was pretty low. And it was just because I had been dieting so much. So every time I would stop dieting, I would gain weight. Even if I wasn't eating that much more, I would just gain weight. And I think that was my body trying to protect itself because I kept trying to diet. Well, I haven't officially, I know I'm in a little bit of a diet phase now. I'll touch on that in a second. But I took, after my wedding, I took a year, like 15 months. It's been 15 months since I dieted at all. I've just been eating at maintenance for the last 15 months. So a little bit over a year. Okay. And I am just now noticing improvements in my body that I can tell. Like, for example, I used to be so cold all the time. So cold all of the time. And that is one sign of underactive thyroid, because when you have a healthy metabolism, you're burning energy. Well, when you have hypothyroidism, your body's burning less energy. So you are cold because you have less metabolic processes going on. You're trying to conserve energy. So then you end up being more cold. Okay. I used to be freezing cold all of the time. And now I'm like rarely ever cold. I'm honestly a little hot sometimes. And yes, I have gained a little bit of weight since then. So having more weight on you, you tend to be a little bit more warmer, a little bit more warm. But in general, I just don't really feel cold often anymore. And I think that's a really good sign. As I'm saying this, it's like my body knows. I'm wearing a blanket right now. I have a blanket on me and I'm getting really hot as I'm saying this to myself. It's like my body knows that I'm talking about it. But my body temperature has regulated. If you are a girly tracking your basal body temperature, you're tracking your morning temperature to track your cycle, you can see this. If you're doing, I'm talking oral temperature here, so not necessarily the Oura ring or like a watch, but if you're doing your oral temperature and your temps are more so in the 96 range or the low 97, that can be indicative of lower thyroid hormone. And my temperature used to never hit 98, my oral temperature. It would always, like in my follicular phase, it would be in the high 96s. And then when I ovulated, it would go into like the high 97s, but it never hit the 98s. Now, when I'm in my follicular phase, my temperature is usually in the high 97s. And then in my luteal phase, it's in the high 98s. Sometimes it's close to 99. Like I obviously don't have a fever, but that is improvement in my basal temperature, which shows improvement in my thyroid health now as compared to before when I used to diet all of the time. I also have a lot of new hair growth, and dry hair, dry skin, and even hair loss can be associated with hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's. And I had a lot of hair. I don't want to say I had a lot of hair loss, but in the shower, there would be a decent amount that would come out. My hair doesn't really do that in the shower at all anymore. And also, I have a lot of new hair growth around the crown of my head that even 2 years ago, I took photos of those area of my head because I was like, I have no hair here. I am like balding. And now I have a lot of hair growth in those spots. So I can just tell. And this is all of these changes I'm just now noticing within the last 2 months of a 15-month period of eating 100% at maintenance calories, eating enough protein, enough carbs, enough fat, enough fiber, and also taking a step back from how intense I was training at the gym. I used to train 6 days a week. Now I do 3 lifts and 1 yoga day, sometimes 4 lifts a week, and that's all I do in the gym. I do get 10,000 steps on average per day because I have a walking pad, and so I just feel better when I'm walking more and not sitting. But it's taken that long for my thyroid to really just, my metabolism to kind of chill out, because your body's smart, your body's resilient. So your body knows when you do something for, this is why when you do something for 2 weeks and you're like, why isn't my body changing? Like, why isn't it changing? It's been 2 weeks. Your body knows you, girl. Your body knows that you dieted for 8 years. It knows that 2 weeks ain't shit, okay? It knows that 2 weeks that's not you really making that big of a change. Your body is smart. It remembers. It knows what you've put it through. So it knows it needs time to realize, like, okay, we can start feeling safe again. We can start letting go of excess body fat now because we know that she's eating consistently over months, not just a couple of weeks. I know it can be really frustrating, and it's one of the most frustrating topics that when women come to work with me and I don't let them diet for the whole first 6 months we work together, they get really annoyed with me. But guess what? Then when we get to the point where we can start dieting, they see much better results that last and are healthy, and we're not tanking your thyroid just to do it. So some other signs that can indicate slowed thyroid. We talked about feeling cold all the time. Constant fatigue, dry skin, dry hairs, brittle nails, if your nails break really easily. Now, if you are somebody that gets your nails done with acrylics all the time, And then you just take a break. They could be brittle from that. But if your nails tend to break pretty easily, that's a sign. My nails have been growing like crazy. I feel like I have to cut them every single week or else they're way too long. And that is another thing that before my nails, I like rarely had to cut them. And now I feel like I'm cutting them, trimming them all the time because they're growing like crazy. Weak muscles, joint pain, poor concentration, poor memory, poor mental clarity, depression, mood changes, constipation. That is a big one with hypothyroidism is constipation because your motility will slow down. Hair loss. And then also having irregular periods, having very heavy bleeds, increased cramps, shortened luteal phases, excessive spotting or spotting between your periods or outside of ovulation, and a lack of ovulation. So if you're somebody that you're tracking your LH and you're tracking your basal body temperature, but you're just like not noticing trends of ovulation and it's just not really happening, that could be signs of hypothyroid or slowed thyroid function, which we know being on birth control can impact the thyroid. So if you just got off birth control, give it a couple of months. But if it's been 4 to 6 months and these things are still happening, then it might be something to consider looking into. Something else that can lead to hypothyroidism is iodine deficiency. So we have talked about T4, T3. Well, the number that 3 and 4, that is how many iodine atoms are present in the thyroid hormone. Okay. So if you are deficient in iodine, that can slow thyroid function. However, on the flip side, too much iodine can also exacerbate thyroid autoimmune conditions if you have an autoimmune condition. So because of that, I don't necessarily suggest taking iodine supplementation, especially just like on its own, unless you speak to your provider, or if you know that you have Hashimoto's or Graves' disease, definitely speak to your provider before jumping on to taking iodine. Fun fact, actually, this is why we have iodized salt here in the US. Once upon a time, we were a very iodine deficient country. So we started adding iodine to our table salt to prevent thyroid diseases. And I have seen some things recently that say that we are once again an iodine deficient country because of the quality of our soil not being as great as it was before, because that's where we get a lot of our nutrients and even plants and foods that I'm going to mention here that you can eat to have better or that have iodine, like the nutrient quality and the amounts of different minerals like iodine in our foods is lower than it used to be decades ago because the quality of our soil is more depleted. So foods that I would recommend instead of just jumping on an iodine supplement would be things like seafood. It's going to be a lot of your seafood, like seaweed, different types of fish, shrimp, and then also your dairy. So quality milk, yogurt, cheese, egg yolks, and then you could also just use an iodized salt on your food to salt your food. So another thing that can impact your thyroid is stress. We talked about that conversion of free T3 to reverse T3. So if your body is preferencing the brake, aka reverse T3, instead of the gas pedal, you're not going to go anywhere fast. You're not going to see a lot of weight loss if that's happening. But a lot of people don't realize that stress doesn't have to be if you realize you're stressed or not. I have a client that we just had a check-in yesterday and we were talking about this where she has been feeling a lot of anxiety lately. And while there were some factors that we think may have been contributing to it, something that has been going on for months for her is stress with her job and just realizing it's a very toxic work environment and she's wanted to get out. And I brought it up to her of, do you think that there's a possibility your body is you're experiencing a lot of this anxiety because you're mentally not processing the stress that you're going through. So your body is having to take a lot of the brunt of it. And she agreed completely. She was like, I definitely think that's part of it. So just because you feel like you're handling the stress well doesn't necessarily mean that your body is. So if you're super in a very stressed out, toxic environment and you're like, I'm good. But then you have hypothyroid and you're like, well, I eat really good. I eat enough. I don't know why. It could be because your body is under stress, right? So just because it's, and then it also doesn't have to be mental, emotional, right? If your immune system's on high alert all of the time from GI issues, this could be leading to hypothyroidism as well. If you have sluggish liver or GI issues, this is where we can make that conversion from T4 to T3. So if those areas of your body are under attack by from different pathogens, whether it's bacterial, candida, parasites, mold toxicity, heavy metals, then your body is, its resources are not as full to be able to effectively, I'm at a loss for words right now. Your body, if you're sluggish liver or you have GI issues going on, then your body has to then divide its resources to do everything it's those organs are supposed to do, plus that conversion of thyroid hormone. So if your liver is sluggish or your gut is under a lot of stress and IBS symptoms from everything going on in there and your poor diet and whatnot, then you may see lower conversion rates because your organs are just under a lot of stress, right? So internal stress is still stress. So definitely suggest if you have a lot of the symptoms of hypothyroid and you have a lot of gut issues, you need to start with your gut first because it's more than likely your gut is causing the hypothyroidism, okay? So your diet is also important aside from just how much you're eating, but your style of diet is very important. Low carb diets have negative impacts on thyroid health. And also, if you aren't eating a very well-balanced diet, that can be a problem too. Nutrient deficiencies like selenium, zinc, and iron, those are big. We need these raw materials to make up thyroid hormones. They're cofactors to be able to have this conversion happen and have adequate thyroid hormone and then be able to use and access those thyroid hormones. So if you're deficient in those things, then you can see hypothyroidism. Well, I mentioned zinc and iron, right? A lot of women are actually iron deficient. A lot of women are iron deficient because they're afraid of eating meat. They don't like eating red meat or just meat in general. Well, meat is one of the most abundant forms of zinc, iron, and B vitamins, which we need for thyroid health. We need for liver health, where we convert thyroid hormones, right? So if you are somebody that struggles with iron deficiency, maybe you need to look at, are you also deficient in selenium and zinc? Are you eating foods that are rich in those sources? Selenium, you'll see a lot of people eating like the 2 Brazil nuts a day, which is great for the selenium levels. And then maybe you need to start eating more quality beef. Maybe you need to start eating some more quality red meat to get that iron up. If you eat a lot of ultra processed foods, this can also cause nutrient deficiencies. It's not just about the calories, right? And this is why I get really frustrated with dietitians or fitness bros on the internet that are like, you can eat whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Like, you don't have to eat the vegetables. As long as you hit your calories, you can eat whatever fits in it. And as long, like, eat all of this fake processed BS that has 0 calories and it's not a single ingredient is a real food or has any nutrients, because those foods, those fake fitness foods or your ultra processed treats and snacks and whatnot, they don't have the same nutrient profile as quality dairy, quality meat, your fruits, your vegetables, quality organic grains, right? That's where all of your vitamins, minerals, and nutrients come from. So if most of your diet is these ultra processed, ready to eat freezer meals or fast food, or just a lot of packaged sweets and candies and whatnot, then you can be easily eating enough calories but still have nutrient deficiencies because the quality of your food is very poor. Okay, so to wrap this episode up, what do you do from here? We kind of talked about a lot of what to do here, but to wrap it up, if you think that you are somebody that has sluggish thyroid, you think that this is you, this sounds like you, well, ask yourself, are you doing a lot of the things we already talked about? And essentially just do the opposite of what I said. Like if I said you're doing this causes it, do the opposite, right? So the first one would be, if you're not eating enough, take yourself through a reverse diet and then sit at maintenance calories for a minimum of 6 months. Minimum of 6 months at maintenance. So in order to get through the reverse diet, that might be like 2 to 3 months. So you're talking 6, 7, 8, 9 months at a minimum, right? I know it sounds backwards because you want to lose weight and losing weight is your goal, but you may need to chill on trying to force your body to lose weight when it's clearly telling you it doesn't want to do that right now. Can we please stop forcing our body to do something that it's clearly rejecting? If you're doing everything to lose weight and it's not happening, can we sit back and be like, okay, body, I'm going to listen to you. Obviously, there's something off because you're not losing weight no matter how much I work out and no matter how diligent I track my weight loss macros, okay? Number two, eat more nutrient-dense diet, including quality meat. I'm a huge quality meat fan. Now, I'm talking quality meat. I'm talking a quality grass-fed steak, not a burger from McDonald's, okay? Number three, eat foods, some of those foods that contain iodine, unless you're in the category of people that shouldn't be consuming iodine like that. Number four, rest more and focus on quality sleep so that you can recover. And you, if you're super tired all the time, listen to your body. You probably need better quality sleep hygiene. And number five, sign up for a consult call if you feel lost, because I know this is a lot and I know this can be really confusing and you may not have access to those labs or know how to read them, or you want a full panel and not worry about your doctor just saying they're going to get you a full panel and then only getting you TSH and T4. I am taking clients right now. I currently have 4-month packages and 6-month nutrition packages where we work one-on-one. But I also do, and I have been doing a lot of these lately, where we just do lab reviews where we can get you blood work done or any other, if you're looking for something else more functional, like a Dutch test or a GI map, we can do whatever type of testing you want. And then you get a one-time Zoom call for an hour where I kind of tell you what to do and you just follow it. I also have my fitness app, $14.99 a month. You get a 7-day free trial if you're looking for workouts that are based around your cycle that will just help you to feel good, gain a little bit of muscle, lose a little bit of fat, but not be like a bodybuilder's type of workout. And then coming up towards, I'm hoping for the end of February, if not the beginning of March, but I'm hoping for the end of February, I will be announcing a membership geared towards becoming your most fertile self. And this is going to be something that it's going to be like less than $25 a month. So that will be something geared towards women that you want to start having a family in the next year to 3 years. And you want to learn about like what you should be doing for your health so that when you do start trying, it can be as seamless and smooth as possible. And just prep your body to be the most fertile for when you are ready in the next year to 3 years, okay? So come back next week where we're going to discuss cortisol and if cortisol is the reason that you are gaining weight or can't lose weight, okay? Love ya. See you next week.